Chapter 97. And an old one behind, who was familiar with farming. There was a constant succession of Christian names in smock frocks and white coats, who were invited to have a lift by the guard, and who knew every horse and hostler on the road and off it. And there was a dinner which would have been cheap at half a crown a mouth, if any moderate number of mouths could have eaten it in the time. And at 7 o'clock p.m. Mr. Pickwick and his friends, and Mr. Dowler and his wife, respectively retired to their private sitting rooms at the White Hart Hotel, opposite the Great Pump Room, Bath, where the waiters, from their costume, might be mistaken for Westminster boys, only they destroy the illusion by behaving themselves much better. Breakfast had scarcely been cleared away on the succeeding morning, when a waiter brought in Mr. Dowler's card, with a request to be allowed permission to introduce a friend. Mr. Dowler at once followed up the delivery of the card, by bringing himself and the friend also. The friend was a charming young man of not much more than 50, dressed in a very bright blue coat with resplendent buttons, black trousers, and the thinnest possible pair of highly polished boots. A gold eyeglass was suspended from his neck by a short, broad, black ribbon. A gold snuff box was lightly clasped in his left hand. Gold rings innumerable glittered on his fingers, and a large diamond pin set in gold glistened in his shirt frill. He had a gold watch, and a gold curb chain with large gold seals, and he carried a pliant ebony cane with a gold top. His linen was of the very whitest, finest, and stiffest, his wig of the glossiest, blackest, and curliest. His snuff was Prince's Mixture, his scent Bouquet du Roy. His features were contracted into a perpetual smile, and his teeth were in such perfect order that it was difficult at a small distance to tell the real from the false. Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe said Mr. Dowler. My friend, Angelo Cyrus Bantam Esquire, M.C., Bantam, Mr. Pickwick. Know each other. Apostrophe, welcome to Bath, sir. This is indeed an acquisition. Most welcome to Bath, sir. It is long, very long, Mr. Pickwick, since you drank the waters. It appears an age, Mr. Pickwick. Remarkable. Apostrophe, apostrophe, such were the expressions with which Angelo Cyrus Bantam Esquire, M.C., took Mr. Pickwick's hand, retaining it in his, meantime, and shrugging up his shoulders with a constant succession of bows, as if he really could not make up his mind to the trial of letting it go again. It is a very long time since I drank the waters, certainly, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, for, to the best of my knowledge, I was never here before. Apostrophe, never in Bath, Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the Grand Master, letting the hand fall in astonishment. Never in Bath. He. Mr. Pickwick, you are a wag. Not bad, not bad. Good. He. Remarkable. Apostrophe, to my shame, I must say, that I am perfectly serious, apostrophe rejoined Mr. Pickwick. I really never was here before. Apostrophe, oh, I see, apostrophe exclaimed the Grand Master, looking extremely pleased. Yes, good, better and better. You are the gentleman of whom we have heard. Yes, we know you, Mr. Pickwick, we know you. Apostrophe, the reports of the trial in those confounded papers, apostrophe thought Mr. Pickwick. They have heard all about me. Apostrophe, you are the gentleman residing on Clapham Green, apostrophe resumed Bantam, who lost the use of his limbs from imprudently taking cold after port wine, who could not be moved in consequence of acute suffering, and who had the water from the king's bath bottled at 103 degrees, and sent by wagon to his bedroom in town, where he bathed, sneezed, and the same day recovered. Very remarkable. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick acknowledged the compliment which the supposition implied, but had the self-denial to repudiate it, notwithstanding, and taking advantage of a moment's silence on the part of the MC, begged to introduce his friends, Mr. Tupman, Mr. Winkle, and Mr. Snodgrass. An introduction which overwhelmed the MC with delight and honor. Bantam, apostrophe said Mr. Dowler, apostrophe Mr. Pickwick and his friends are strangers. They must put their names down. Where's the book? Apostrophe, the register of the distinguished visitors in Bath will be at the pump room this morning at 2 o'clock. Apostrophe replied the MC, will you guide our friends to that splendid building, and enable me to procure their autographs? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I will, apostrophe rejoined Dowler. This is a long call. It's time to go. I shall be here again in an hour. Come. Apostrophe, this is a ball night, apostrophe said the MC, again taking Mr. Pickwick's hand, as he rose to go. The ball nights in Bath are moments snatched from paradise, rendered bewitching by music, beauty, elegance, fashion, etiquette, and above all, by the absence of tradespeople, who are quite inconsistent with paradise, and who have an amalgamation of themselves at the Guildhall every fortnight, which is, to say the least, remarkable. Goodbye, goodbye. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and protesting all the way downstairs, that he was most satisfied, and most delighted, and most overpowered, and most flattered, Angelo Cyrus Bantam Esquire, M.C., stepped into a very elegant chariot that waited at the door, and rattled off. At the appointed hour, Mr. Pickwick and his friends, escorted by Dowler, repaired to the assembly rooms, and wrote their names down in the book. An instance of condescension at which Angelo Bantam was even more overpowered than before. Tickets of admission to that evening's assembly were to have been prepared for the whole party, but as they were not ready, Mr. Pickwick undertook, despite all the protestations to the contrary of Angelo Bantam, to send Sam for them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, to the MCS house in Queen Square. Having taken a short walk through the city, and arrived at the unanimous conclusion that Park Street was very much like the perpendicular streets a man sees in a dream, which he cannot get up for the life of him, they returned to the White Hart, and dispatched Sam on the errand to which his master had pledged him. Sam Weller put on his hat in a very easy and graceful manner, and, thrusting his hands in his waistcoat pockets, walked with great deliberation to Queen Square, whistling as he went along several of the most popular airs of the day, as arranged with entirely new movements for that noble instrument, the organ, either mouth or barrel. Arriving at the number in Queen Square to which he had been directed, he left off whistling, and gave a cheerful knock, which was instantaneously answered by a powdered-headed footman in gorgeous livery, and of symmetrical stature. Is this here Mr. Bantam's, old feller? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Sam Weller, nothing abashed by the blaze of splendor which burst upon his sight in the person of the powdered-headed footman with the gorgeous livery. Why, young man? Apostrophe, apostrophe, was the haughty inquiry of the powdered-headed footman. Cause if it is, just you step into him with that ear card, and say Mr. Veller's a waitin', will you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Sam. And saying it, he very coolly walked into the hall, and sat down. The powdered-headed footman slammed the door very hard, and scowled very grandly. But both the slam and the scowl were lost upon Sam, who was regarding a mahogany umbrella stand with every outward token of critical approval. Apparently his master's reception of the card had impressed the powdered-headed footman in Sam's favor, for when he came back from delivering it, he smiled in a friendly manner, and said that the answer would be ready directly. Worry good, apostrophe said Sam. Tell the old gentleman not to put himself in a perspiration. No hurry, 6 foot. I've had my dinner. Apostrophe, you dine early, sir, apostrophe said the powdered-headed footman. I find I gets on better at supper when I does, apostrophe replied Sam. Have you been long in Bath, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe inquired the powdered-headed footman. I have not had the pleasure of hearing of you before. apostrophe, I haven't created any worry, surprise, and sensation here, as yet, apostrophe, rejoined Sam, for me and the other fashionables only come last night. Apostrophe, nice place, sir, apostrophe, said the powdered-headed footman. Seems so, apostrophe, observed Sam. Pleasant society, sir, apostrophe, remarked the powdered-headed footman. Very agreeable servants, sir. Apostrophe, I should think they was, apostrophe, replied Sam. Affable, unaffected, say nothing to nobody sort so fellers. Apostrophe, oh, very much so, indeed, sir, apostrophe, said the powdered-headed footman, taking Sam's remarks as a high compliment. Very much so indeed. Do you do anything in this way, sir? Apostrophe, inquired the tall footman, producing a small snuff box with a fox's head on the top of it. Not without sneezing, apostrophe, replied Sam. Why, it is difficult, sir, I confess, apostrophe, said the tall footman. It may be done by degrees, sir. Coffee is the best practice. I carried coffee, sir, for a long time. It looks very like rapee, sir. Apostrophe, here, a sharp peal at the bell, reduced the powdered-headed footman to the ignominious necessity of putting the fox's head in his pocket, and hastening with a humble countenance to Mr. Bantam's study. Apostrophe, by the by, whoever knew a man who never read or wrote either, who hadn't got some small back parlor which he would call a study? There is the answer, sir, apostrophe, said the powdered-headed footman. I'm afraid you'll find it inconveniently large. Apostrophe, don't mention it, apostrophe, said Sam, taking a letter with a small enclosure. It's just possible as exhausted matter may manage to survive it. Apostrophe, I hope we shall meet again, sir, apostrophe, said the powdered-headed footman, rubbing his hands, and following Sam out to the doorstep. You are worry obliging, sir, apostrophe, replied Sam. Now, don't allow yourself to be fatigued beyond your powers, there's a amiable being. Consider what you owe to society, and don't let yourself be injured by too much work. For the sake of your fellow creatures, keep yourself as quiet as you can, only think what a loss you would be. Apostrophe, apostrophe, with these pathetic words, Sam Weller departed. A very singular young man that, apostrophe, said the powdered-headed footman, looking after Mr. Weller, with a countenance which clearly showed he could make nothing of him. Sam said nothing at all. He winked, shook his head, smiled, winked again, and, with an expression of countenance which seemed to denote that he was greatly amused with something or other, walked merrily away. At precisely 20 minutes before 8 o'clock that night, Angelo Cyrus Bantam Esquire, the master of the ceremonies, emerged from his chariot at the door of the assembly rooms in the same wig, the same teeth, the same eyeglass, the same watch and seals, the same rings, the same shirt pin, and the same cane. The only observable alterations in his appearance were that he wore a brighter blue coat, with a white silk lining, black tights, black silk stockings, and pumps, and a white waistcoat, and was, if possible, just a thought more scented. Thus attired, the master of the ceremonies, in strict discharge of the important duties of his all-important office, planted himself in the room to receive the company. Bath being full, the company, and the sixpences for tea, poured in shoals. In the ballroom, the long card room, the octagonal card room, the staircases, and the passages, the hum of many voices, and the sound of many feet, were perfectly bewildering. Dresses rustled, feathers waved, lights shone, and jewels sparkled. There was the music, not of the quadrille band, for it had not yet commenced, but the music of soft tiny footsteps, with now and then a clear merry laugh, low and gentle, but very pleasant to hear in a female voice, whether in Bath or elsewhere. Brilliant eyes, lighted up with pleasurable expectation, gleamed from every side, and, look where you would, some exquisite form glided gracefully through the throng, and was no sooner lost, than it was replaced by another as dainty and bewitching. In the tea room, and hovering round the card tables, were a vast number of queer old ladies and decrepit old gentlemen, discussing all the small talk and scandal of the day, with a relish and gusto which sufficiently bespoke the intensity of the pleasure they derived from the occupation. Mingled with these groups were three or four matchmaking mamas, appearing to be wholly absorbed by the conversation in which they were taking part, but failing not from time to time to cast an anxious sidelong glance upon their daughters, who, remembering the maternal injunction to make the best use of their youth, had already commenced incipient flirtations in the mislaying scarves, putting on gloves, setting down cups, and so forth. Slight matters apparently, but which may be turned to surprisingly good account by expert practitioners. Lounging near the doors, and in remote corners, were various knots of silly young men, displaying various varieties of puppyism and stupidity, amusing all sensible people near them with their folly and conceit, and happily thinking themselves the objects of general admiration, a wise and merciful dispensation which no good man will quarrel with. And lastly, seated on some of the back benches, where they had already taken up their positions for the evening, were divers unmarried ladies past their grand climacteric, who, not dancing because there were no partners for them, and not playing cards lest they should be set down as irretrievably single, were in the favorable situation of being able to abuse everybody without reflecting on themselves. In short, they could abuse everybody, because everybody was there. It was a scene of gaiety, glitter, and show, of richly dressed people, handsome mirrors, chalked floors, girandoles and wax candles, and in all parts of the scene, gliding from spot to spot in silent softness, bowing obsequiously to this party, nodding familiarly to that, and smiling complacently on all, was the sprucely attired person of Angelo Cyrus Bantam Esquire, the master of the ceremonies. Stop in the tea room. Take your sixpenn'orth. Then lay on hot water, and call a tea. Drink it, apostrophe said Mr. Dowler, in a loud voice, directing Mr. Pickwick, who advanced at the head of the little party, with Mrs. Dowler on his arm. Into the tea room Mr. Pickwick turned, and catching sight of him, Mr. Bantam corkscrewed his way through the crowd, and welcomed him with ecstasy. My dear sir, I am highly honored. Bath is favored. Mrs. Dowler, you embellish the rooms. I congratulate you on your feathers. Remarkable. Apostrophe, anybody here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Dowler suspiciously. Anybody? The elite of Bath. Mr. Pickwick, do you see the old lady in the gauze turban? Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.